our teaching, which I want to begin today. I've seen trying to get a very good title for it. But the point I want to make in the series of teachings, which I'm beginning today, is to bring our attentions to, our various attentions to the thing that's core in life. Do you understand? Jesus said to Martha, he said, one thing is needful. Don't ever forget that. He said, one thing is what? Needful. This was when Mary was running up and down, when Martha was running up and down, trying to do many things, and she was complaining that Mary was not participating in what she was involved in. What was Mary doing at that point in time? She was settled at the feet of Jesus, hearing his words. And Jesus said to Mary, Martha, in response to her request to tell Mary to participate, he said, you are bothered and concerned by too many things. He said, however, only one thing is needful. Everybody say it. One thing is needful. And he said, Mary has chosen that good part, and it will be criminal for anybody to try and take that away from her. And that's what I want to talk about beginning from today. That one thing that is needful. I've been looking for a way to coin, you know, the title for the series. That is central matter, or the core of the matter, or the heart of the issues of life, from where the life, all right, that you need to succeed in life will come from. That one thing that is needful is what I want to begin to talk about today. Of course, we know that that thing is the Word of God. I want to take a few texts of the Scriptures, all right? We'll read a few verses as my texts, and then if I have my computer here, because that's the only place where I have an amplified Bible. Then after that, I'll drop it, then we'll continue in my other Bible, all right? So quickly, if you have your Bibles, let me read about three portions. Open with me. Let's start from the book of Revelation, chapter 22. The book of Revelation, chapter 22 is where we are going to begin. And there's something I want to first explain. That's why I want to read this. I'm reading just two verses. I want you to know what I want to say carefully. I will read this, then I will explain it. Now, John was saying, in concluding his writing, he said in verse 18, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And he said, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He said, God shall take away from him his part. Everybody say his part. That is, each person has a part. That's what I'm trying to bring out. Okay? Now, let us read another one, this time around from the book of Acts, chapter 20. I need to read the Amplified Bible to get this one out to us very clearly. The book of Acts, chapter 20. From that Revelation, chapter 22, we see that each person has a part. I will explain that in a moment. But first of all, let's read this other one. The book of Acts, chapter 20. When Paul was about to depart and he was having a farewell meeting with the people in Ephesus, he said to them, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He said, that word is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, that word, the inheritance, what I want to read to you from the Amplified Bible. Please quickly, just listen to me. Let me read from the Amplified Bible, that verse 20. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He said, and now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. And I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands and counsels and promises of his unmerited favor. Now listen to this. He said, it is able to build you up and to give you your rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul. Why did I read this? It's because he said, you have your own rightful inheritance. Are you getting the point? In Revelations, John said that each person has a part. And so that you don't lose your part that's written in the book. So you don't lose your part in the tree of life. So you don't lose your part in what God has prepared and the things that were recorded in that book. He said you must be careful not to do certain things. What am I emphasizing? That each person has a part. Are you getting my point? And Paul was saying it here also. He said you have your own rightful inheritance. Something that belongs to you and does not belong to anybody else. Please don't ever forget that. You've heard me say several times, I don't believe in chance. He said, oh, you didn't get there on time. You were just the right person for the job. But because you were not there on time, somebody has got it. I say all the time, don't ever make that mistake. I'm not the only person that God wants to bless. I didn't get there on time because it was not mine. If it was rightfully mine, it will wait till I come. When Samuel was going to anoint David, don't ever forget, David was not around and David was not aware. Yet, the oil refused to move. Samuel refused to move because God didn't give him the moving order. Why? Because David was not around. Samuel couldn't rest until they went to look for David wherever he was. If David had traveled abroad that season, Samuel would have had to wait until David would come back. Why? Because there is an inheritance. There was a part that belonged to David and Eliab could not take it because of David's absence. Abinadab could not take it just because David was not around. So I don't believe in chance. If you were just here, that job is 72 million naira. It will have just been yours. What happened? I have come to understand that what happened is that it's not really mine. On the surface, it looks like it should have been mine, but the truth is that it's not mine. And if you remember something, if you realize something, put it in mind all the time, you're not the only person around you. In fact, the only reason why you exist is because God wants to bless the person next to you. Did you hear what I said? The reason why you exist is because God wants to bless the person next to you. Therefore, if that person is blessed, you should be happy. Christians have no business being jealous. You hear what I said? Christians have no business being jealous of anything, of anybody. No. If all of you become very rich, multi-millionaires today, I should be happy. Why? That's why I've been preaching. If everybody is healed and I'm the only one that's still sick, I won't be angry. That's why I've been preaching. That's why Paul said, as poor, yet making many rich. There's no reason why I should be jealous. And get ready for it. There's no reason you should be jealous. Get ready for it. People that were born after you will be promoted above you one day. Listen, I'm not cursing you. That's just the way life is. And the reason is simple. Look, John looks at it and said, did I not tell you? He must increase. And I must decrease. I was born before me in him, but he must increase. He's my cousin. I went into ministry long before him, but he must increase. Then one day his disciples came and said to him, Oga, he was a member of this church. He has gone to start his own church. Now he has more members than us, and people are living here and joining his church. He said, did I not tell you that no man can receive anything except it is given to him from above? I warned you earlier, he must increase, I must decrease. He said, this was the reason why I was born, to introduce him to the world. You'll be a lecturer. Listen, were you not in primary school at the time? If you're ever in primary school, say amen. If you have now advanced educationally more than your primary school teacher, say amen. Amen. Why should he be angry? He was not made a primary school teacher so that you remain in primary school for life. He was made a primary school teacher so that one day you will be qualified to go to secondary school. And one day you will overtake your teachers in secondary school. It is not usual for secondary school teachers to hold PhDs. Doesn't mean they are not intelligent. Does not mean they are not progressive. One day, the people they taught will return with PhDs. One day, one of them will become a vice chancellor of a university, and a secondary school teacher will have just made it to be a principal. When human beings don't understand, listen, let me tell you the truth. Life is temporal. It's just a point in eternity. And we all must stand before the judgment throne of Christ. You put that in mind, you will never be jealous of anybody. Ah, can you imagine? I was a teacher in secondary school. Now he's a vice chancellor. You're a secondary school teacher. It's not a crime. It's a good thing. God will bless you, bless your descendants if you do your job well. Being a vice chancellor, does not mean he's better than you are. It's just his part in the inheritance of God. It's just his part in the book of life. Are you getting the point I'm making? Do you understand the point I'm making? That's just the way it is. So that's why Christians have no business being jealous. None. There are many people that I have overtaken. Materially speaking, physically speaking, there are many people that overtake me. I'm not joking about that too. I'm not trying to sound humble. There are students I taught who are 10 times richer than me today. It's not as if I can point to one, but I know they must exist. That's just life is. That's how life is. I'm not called to be in quotes. You know what I mean? No, my calling, I'm not doing business, trying to gather money. I'm a preacher. And if I taught you the word of God, you can get up one day, go to Lagos, start a church. I have 10,000 people. I won't be surprised. It will be a good thing. And I will brag. I used to teach him those days. And whenever you see me, you will see prostrate. Are you getting my point? Yes. If I will deliberately come to the front of your church to greet you, so that everybody will know. I know he's the pastor of 10,000 people, but I taught him. I said, Steve, you can shout all you want in this church. Bow down when you see me. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's it. Christians have no business being jealous. Are you getting my point? No, we don't. That is, it's not necessary. It is not. It's not. Each person has his part, and we should all understand that and be proud when God reveals our various parts to us. Do you get what I'm saying? All right, let's continue. Let me read one more scripture so I can take this computer out of here. All right? The other one I want to read, I don't need it now, but let me just quickly read it then. So I want to remove this. It's from the book of Deuteronomy chapter... it's from the book of Mark chapter 4. Have you read that? No. Okay. I'll come to that later, but I just want to read it now so that... I can drop this thing from here. The book of Mark chapter 4. We have read Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, so that we understand that we have a part. Paul also confirmed that when we read from Acts chapter 20, verse 32. That was the first one in which we have to read the Amplified to get the sense out very clearly. The next one I want to read is book of Acts chapter, Mark chapter 4. Let me first read verse 24 from my usual New American Standard, and I read from the Amplified. It's and he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. And he said, by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given you besides. And whoever has to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have even what he has shall be taken away from him. Now, please, I want to read that verse 24 in the Amplified Bible. Verse 24, Mark chapter 4. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Now, please notice that. Be careful where you keep your ears, where you pay attention. Be careful where you go to listen and let them fill your heart with stuff. He said, this is the reason why I'm saying be careful. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you. Please, I'm going to refer to this later. I just want to take this computer out of here. So let me read it. This is the only Amplified Bible I have around. It said, be careful what you are hearing. Be careful the kind of attention you give to the things that have been said to you. Now, listen to this. He said, the measure of thought and study that you give to these things that have been said to you will decide the amount of virtue and knowledge and understanding that will be returned to you. Now, please notice that. I want to notice very carefully. Now, I read from that Revelation chapter 22 to start to emphasize something to us that we all have a part in this life. One of the things that Christians must bear in mind as they walk around is to realize that we are not accidents. That's a matter of fact. We read from the book of Psalms chapter 14 previous times that everybody has a book. Do you understand? Jesus said it clearly. There's something about me that was written in the book, in thy books. Do you understand? That is, there's something that God wrote about each person in his book. That's when we're talking about predestination. God wrote something about you before you were born. That's a matter of fact. In fact, Jesus said it like this, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. Listen to this. That is, there was something that was missing on the earth so that Jesus could come, and this applies to everybody. All right? The same way the Father sent him, he said, I sent all of you also. He said that so that Jesus could come and fulfill that a particular kind of body was prepared for him. Now, without spending too much time on it, let me just expand that a bit, all right? That is, what he was saying is that for me to come in the kind of flesh I came in, listen to this, there had to be a nation that I would belong to. So, a body thou prepared for me was why Israel existed. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That is, Israel was a body that God prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to come from a particular place. If we were around, when we did our study, then we started on CD, on MP3, our study in Genesis, we saw how God called Abraham and prepared until, the reason why Abraham was called was so that Jesus might come. It was part of preparing a body for him. And what I'm saying to you also is that it's not just about the Lord Jesus, about you also. There is a reason why I'm a Nigerian. There's a reason why I'm a black man. And there's a reason why I'm this black as a black man. Are you getting my point? There are certain truths, believe me. There are things I teach these days that no white man can say to a black man. Even I was a black a Christian, student of the word, and a white man comes to preach it to me, I will lynch him. I'm being honest. There are things that only me can say to my fellow brethren. When I discuss with people and say Africans have a curse over them, and there's a reason why they have collectively been backward, they can't be angry. Let a white man say it. I will lead the lynching of my brother. How dare you? I will call him names. He's racist. But if I said, who wants to tell a nigger is racist against a nigger? It's not possible. So bring certain truths to the body of Christ. I have to be born in a particular way. You get what I'm saying? It's called a body that has prepared for me. I wasn't born by accident. No. My father did not marry my mother by accident. God looked. A body we have to prepare to bring certain truths out into this world. So, this man has to marry this girl. But that's not the one he really wants to marry. He said, too bad. Many are the plans in the heart of a man. That the purpose of God in bringing forth banking must stand. Are you getting my point? One day, that's after my dad passed on and we're after the funeral. They called it an extended family meeting. And one of my uncles was explaining the history of the family to me. And he was trying to explain that, listen, I shouldn't, because I have a cousin, all right, like a second cousin, who's a very senior minister in Ondo State, all right? And he's not he's not a normal, traditional man. You know, he's a believer. You get my point? So people have issues against him because of his ways. So that one was trying to explain to me. He looked at my name, that had my name changed from this to this. Is it because of Christianity? I said, Uncle, yes. He started telling me stories that we shouldn't think, that's in his mind, me and that my cousin, that we are the first Christians. He told me a story that it was this family that first ended idol worship in this area. He told me a story of how they brought the gods together and set them on fire. In my mind, hey, God knew that things like this had to go on before I was born. So my ancestors have been fighting idolatry for a long time. As he was saying, that's what I was hearing. Remember, I said, good, so you guys did round one. We are carrying it to the fullness. A body that has prepared for me. That's what I'm saying. So God located where they had burnt idols before. You follow what I'm saying? I said, from here we'll bring forth this man of God for this generation. Are you following what I'm saying? So it didn't apply to the Lord Jesus alone. It applies to me also. It applies to you also. Are you getting what I'm saying? It applies to you also. Don't ever say, oh God, why they not bomb me for America? God say, listen, the roads are too good. That's why they didn't give birth to you in America. The houses are too well ordered. They are too cheap. Things are too easy. That's why they didn't give birth to you in America. If I give birth to you in America, the ideas that suffering is supposed to cook out of your soul, they won't come out. You'll have been born in a good hospital. The healthcare will be too good. Therefore, I prepared a body called Nigeria to bring. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? A body that has prepared for me. Are you getting my point? Please, you must get that one clear. You're not born by chance. You have a part. Now, that's what I'm trying to emphasize here. You have what? A part. God looked at Jeremiah and said, hey, oh boy, come. Before you were conceived, we had written these things down. That's why Jesus taught them to pray. Pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. So he said to Jeremiah, this is a prayer you will pray. Before I was born, he knew me. Say after me. And Jeremiah said, before I was born, you knew me. And I consecrated you to be a prophet. And you consecrated me to be a prophet. Therefore, where you go, or where I say you go, that's where you will go. Say, yes, Lord. That's how to pray. Are you getting my point? It wasn't new. Jeremiah's calling was not, that's why God would have beheaded him if he had refused. He would have been called an unprofitable servant. Listen, you have a part, that's what I'm saying. God created a giant puzzle. And one of those puzzles, the pieces, is called you. Are you getting my point? One is called me. I have to fit in a particular place. And that place is called my part. The next thing you say, what's the principle of judgment? We said it before, books were opened. The dead were judged according to the things written in the books. I'm not taking that one now because I'm just trying to bring it down to the thing I want to explain in this season. Talking about the centrality of the word of God in bringing forth into reality your part in his book. That's what I want to explain. Now, what is the issue of judgment? Books were opened. There are two sets of books. There are books that were written before you were born. Like we've already explained, that's where your part is described. Then the fulfillment of your part is written after you had lived. And judgment is by comparing the two books. Did you do what we said you should do? We know these things. I'm just reviewing them. We've discussed this in several times, all right, in previous times. Did you do them? Now, why are you going to be judged concerning whether you did them or not if God had, let me put the word, control on whether you did them or not? The issue is that he really doesn't have that kind of control. What he does is to put the control in your hands, and that's why, in quotes, he spends all this time. I was going to say waste time. No, it's not waste. That's why he spends all the time to persuade you. That's the word. He spends all the time to persuade you. They don't just give birth to you and suddenly you feel the place, your own part in that great puzzle. No. You're born, you're scattered. And then God begins to persuade you. That's where you will hear a word that will tell you to come. You have a choice. You can say no. Then God has to make another person. And sometimes, listen to this, wait another generation. I said to you before, there's no proof that Abraham was the first person that was called. Only our Bible is the way it is today. That's Genesis down to the birth of Jesus Christ because Abraham answered. Father had a cousin that was called. That one said no. I've said if I don't marry this girl, I will die. You know, it happens. Kings have given up their thrones because of women they wanted to marry. When I was young and stupid, I commended them for following their hearts. Now I know it's stupidity. It's romance novels that make you look like a king that follows love. Love is not, listen to me, romantic love is not the purpose of life. You know, when we're young then, what do you call it? There's this film this guy did, Coming to America. Eddie Murphy. I look at the film, it's a bunch of nonsense. If you grow up like that, better marry that girl they found for you. Now look for an American girl that help you scatter your father's truth. Madness. I have grown. I know what makes sense and what does not. whole movie, all those love stories are confessions in Satanism. Believe me. And people are shocked what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying now. It's not the, forget all those ones of those days. They say a king leaves the throne because he loves a woman. He's an idiot. He said, Pastor Michael, what are you saying? If you know you were born for a purpose, you won't behave like that. You must maybe, anyway, he's good he left. He's not a good king. He's good he left. Yeah, he's good. Go and read the story of Adoniram Judson. It was a matter of, I was listening to a story being told by Ravi Zacharias. This was a man who had a lot of, he was not an attractive person, yet one girl fell in love badly with him because he was very, very smart. When he told the girl that he was going to go to India, and the girl said, no, I know they go. Said the guy agonized for days, trying to persuade her, finally realized that it was not either India, forgetting her name, or Lydia or something. Finally, it's either Lydia or God. He abandoned love for Lydia and went to India. He died at the age of 33 or so, but before that time, he had translated the Bible into like 4 different languages. There are people who married the girl. They never wrote anything. We are not telling their story years after. Let nobody deceive you into thinking that the good king abandons the throne to go and marry. They give a helpmate to help you fulfill a purpose. Do you get what I'm saying? Well, now we have to shake Christianity out of romance into reality. All the young ladies, I say, Pastor Banky, I don't believe you are saying this. The point I'm just making, all right? Purpose is first. Are you getting my point? Yes, it is first. All right? So, many people, all right? God called Abraham. There are those who didn't follow. Yes, they had bought land. They can't leave the land. So God left them and went to look for Abraham. I mean, at the age of 75, where am I going again? We bought a company. We have established ourselves. We are okay. The story of John G. Lake that I told several times. He was a made man, multi-millionaire. When the Lord sent him to South Africa, he sold everything that he might go to South Africa. And that's why we are still telling his story till today. What am I saying? Yes, you have your part. But this is how God, this is a righteous foundation for judgment. It's not compulsory. God can't force anybody to fulfill anything. We all have to make choices. Immediately after this series or as part of this series, I will talk in details again about predestination. But you can read what I'm going to say before then by just picking up the tract. It's free, predestination, our tract, predestination. Or you look at the book, Choices, Key to Destiny. I'm just going to discuss those things again. You will know how the matter of predestination is. It's not just what's going to be is going to be. No, there's nothing anybody can do about it. K Sarah Sarah or Sarah KK, whatever. No, there are things you can do about them. And that's the principle of what? Of judgment. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm just trying to remind us of things that we know already. Peter said that though you know them already, I will be careful to still keep reminding you of them. All right. Now, let me define the word for you. Success. What is success? What is success? Let me summarize it. Success is the manifestation, the full manifestation of everything that God created you to be. That's what success is. Therefore, there's no universal definition materially for success. There's none. I've heard all kinds of doctrines. John the Baptist did not know the truth. If he knew the truth that we know now, hallelujah, he would have been wearing a man's suits and preaching to the Pharisees. I don't believe it. Was John the Baptist successful? In my opinion, yes. Purpose with God is more important than counting length of days. He said to the disciples, he must increase, I must decrease. What he was saying in effect, if you look at it closely, our ministries are not going to run parallel to one another. And Jesus never, listen to me, he never preached publicly until he heard that John the Baptist had been taken into custody. Go and read your Bible.